The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Hope springs eternal. You've heard the phrase, maybe even used it yourselves, when things don't look very hopeful at all. Often that phrase comes to mind, especially at this time of year. And no, I'm not referring to calls and assignments, but I'm referring to something far more important, the baseball season. Now, I'm sure that some of you thought that I was going to mention the NFL draft, but no, I belong to that generation, now fading fast, that still holds to this truth that baseball is America's pastime. So, when the baseball season begins, and even more so in spring training, anything seems possible, and hope is everywhere. This might, just might be, the year for my team. Now, everything needs to go right. The new players have to come through. The old players, well, they've got to perform at just a little better than they've ever performed before. And you also need a little luck. But it could happen. Everything's possible. I mean, just look at the Chicago Cubs. Well, by now we say hope springs eternal. Because even at this point of the season, just a few weeks in, all of those expectations are beginning to fade. Your team still needs somebody who can throw the ball over the plate, still needs a catcher who can hit, and still really needs a closer, somebody who can preserve the win in the last few innings of the game. And none of these players is anywhere to be found. So already your mind is telling you that it's not going to happen for your team this year. But hope springs eternal, doesn't it? So we'll just have to wait and see. Now, it's a funny thing about that word hope, that we like to use it when there really isn't any hope, that is, or at least not very much. How different it is then, almost shocking, when we see the word hope in the scriptures. They don't use hope for something iffy, questionable, unsure, but for just the opposite, the expectation that is firm and solid and certain. Listen again to just the first words of our text for this morning's reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That's the Bible's version of hope, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Nothing uncertain here. The exact opposite. Hope is God's guarantee. And in the next few verses of the reading, the apostle goes on to elaborate the content of this hope, summarized finally as the salvation of your souls. Now, that's really good news. But how can the apostle be so certain? How can Peter say, for example, that in this hope you can rejoice even if now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials? You know, things like shame, exile, beatings, martyrdom. This hope is so certain that you can endure anything. And church history is filled with Christians, filled with the faithful, who have indeed endured everything. So what is it that makes the Christian hope so sure and solid and certain, more certain than anything else that you will ever experience? What is it? Well, you know the answer, but let's hear it again. St. Paul writes, St. Peter, rather, according to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Lord is risen. For almost 2,000 years now, the church has lived on that foundation, the rock bottom fact that alone makes sense out of the Christian faith and life, that makes sense out of the martyrs, and that makes sense of every faithful Christian who dies with the name of Jesus on his lips and in his heart. Now, during the Enlightenment, the writer Gotthold Ephraim Lessing thought that he had an irrefutable argument against Christianity. Today we call it Lessing's ditch. The accidental truths of history, he claimed, can never become the proof of necessary truths of reason. Now, that may sound good, but you know what? Lessing got it exactly backwards. If you want to be certain, which is it going to be? The human intellect? The meanderings of the brain? I don't care how big it is. Or the facts? A divine intervention into human history, into time and space. In short, something that happened. Something that Peter saw. James 2. All the apostles. 500 Christians at one time, and finally St. Paul as well. Jesus Christ was alive. Jesus Christ is alive. The conqueror of death, the master of the devil, the one who overcame sin. Now, all of our lives, we have to deal with enemies like that. We have to deal with sin and its consequences, and too often, they make our lives miserable, yours, mine, everybody's. So just imagine now for a moment what it would be like if there were no resurrection from the dead. I mean, what would you say to somebody who had really messed up his life and knew it, and there was no forgiveness of sins? Because without the resurrection, there isn't any. How would you comfort parents whose teenage son had just died in a car accident? Or even an old man whose wife of 50 years has now just passed away? What would you say? Without the resurrection, I mean, what would you say? Well, we'd come up with something, I'm sure. People always do. But no matter how many words we'd use, it would all amount to nothing. Without the resurrection, life is meaningless. Life is insignificant. Win a Nobel Prize, commit suicide. It doesn't matter. They both mean the same thing, nothing. But that's not the way it is. We have hope. I remember when my sons were little, and now I've seen it again with my grandsons. They were maybe 7 or 8 and just getting interested in baseball. And they'd be watching a game, and their team would be losing very badly. But even in the 9th inning, with 2 outs, they still had hope that their team could pull it out and win. Of course, it didn't happen. But you know, hope springs eternal, even more so when you're young. But as Christians, not only my children and grandchildren, but everybody here, all of us, have a different kind of hope, one that truly does spring eternal, because it's both for time and for eternity. This is the hope of forgiveness, of life, and salvation. It's sure and firm because it rests upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Truly, The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.